Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, May 11th of 2020. And I'm your host for this evening, as usual, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you may be listening to the show from, whether you're home or out and about, running some errands maybe. Who knows? I'm so glad you could join us tonight, and it's going to be a good night. Obviously, the first little bit I'll be talking about what's been going on with me and positives that are going on, like as far as what states opening up and what have you. And we're going to take authority over this virus. And we're going to sing and worship and get into the Word of God for a bit. And then we're going to, at the end, I have a brief sports thing to talk about and discuss for a minute. And in there, I will talk about my Mother's Day and I will start with that. First, though, I apologize if I was late at all. If I was, it was only by seconds. But so good to be with you. And I apologize for Wednesday night. We just had a couple technical issues, but we are back. Also, the 8th to the 12th, which would involve the 8th, 9th, and 10th, I will be away in another state. However, I do plan to do at least one show live from the hotel room and kind of let you know, just kind of encourage you with some verses and kind of let you know what I'm doing that week. Plan to do at least one show, maybe two. So just a little heads up there. And then on Memorial Day night, on the 25th, I'm going to talk to you about those who made the ultimate sacrifice for America so we could be free. Leading up to that, next week, I think, I'm going to talk a bit about America. Not necessarily politically, but how it was made to be a Christian nation. How the Constitution was based. I'll be doing that a little bit, maybe one of the nights or two of them the week before Memorial Day. And then I have more to get to. I'll have to see based on all I can find. I might do some of it before Memorial Day and a little bit more as we approach the 4th of July. And We'll deal with the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and it'll be, of course, based on the Bible. And it'll be good. It'll be beyond good. So be on the lookout for that. So just wanted you to have those little programming notes. But I wanted to start with Mother's Day. It was fantastic. We had a nice little brunch type thing yesterday with some friends. It was more like a breakfast. At lunch, we had waffles and hash browns and sausage. Some of the others had some quiche and some other egg stuff, which I did not partake in because I'm not an egg guy unless it's just baked into the stuff like French toast or something. I don't like quiche. I don't do quiche. And then for dessert, we had carrot cake. And yes, it was frosted nicely. And so it was very nice. And then yesterday morning, we got to go to church for the first time in almost 2 months. We got to be in the church, and my parents are officers in the church. Next Sunday, they're going to open it up for the morning service. There'll be two different morning services, not one at 9 and one at 11. You'll have to choose which one. But I meant that to be part of what we were going to talk about in a few minutes, but yesterday was Mother's Day, so I guess it kind of fits into both. But then we had lunch, then we went to, you know, and then last night I went home with my parents, and me and my mom bonded over some really good strawberry shortcake. My grandma used to make really good strawberry shortcake with these wonderful biscuits, heavenly biscuits, nice big ones. And so we had some of that last night, and it was divine. It really was. Could almost get closer to Jesus while you were eating it. Almost. I mean, it was good stuff. The strawberries, and then you put the little Cool Whip on top and some sugar. It was divine. Yes, yes it was. And so it was really nice. My mom thought it was a really, really good day. And I gave her a funny card and then some cash so that she would have some for when we go away for a few days here in a month to go shopping. And so I I hope you were able to see your mom yesterday. I really do. And honestly, I hope you gave her a hug. Not from 6 feet away either. Jenny, did you actually give your mom a hug yesterday or no? Yay! Good for you. Good for you. Because our moms need that on Mother's Day. There's just something to be said about when you give your mom that nice big hug and then she hugs you back. It's just beautiful. Beautiful. And I really hope you did. And our moms really help shape us into who we are. But dads, no, I'm not trying to leave you out. Your day is coming. Your day cometh in just a little bit over a month. So hang in there. It'll be all right. You see, moms have a key part. A lot of times they're like the main cook. A lot of times, I didn't say all, I said a lot. Or sometimes dad's the cook and mom's the grocery getter. To make sure that those shelves at your house aren't empty. Make sure the freezer ain't empty. You know, like when you were younger and you lived with them, she would make sure that you guys had some good grub. And also your mom, you know, she would, yes, she might get on you about, you need to clean off your fan. You need to clean off your fan. Clean off your glasses. That kind of stuff. Wipe off your plate. You got that sometimes, didn't you? And sometimes that's even if you're grown and you visit their house, I tell you. Nothing against that by any means. I'm just saying. But at the same time, it's like they do it because they love you. And obviously, from your mom, if you've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times. Beds are not trampolines. Beds are not trampolines. Beds are not trampolines. Eat your spinach. Eat your spinach. Eat your spinach. And bunch of other things. Brush your teeth, brush your teeth, brush your teeth. Go to bed, go to bed, go to bed. You know, and all that. And all the different things, you know, that you'd hear your mom say. And hopefully, you know, you take to heart. And also, there's different moments that you go through in life that you and your mom may share. Could be maybe sometime you guys were at the park. Maybe it could be maybe a time you guys were just driving around doing errands. Or maybe, you know, like you and your brother and your mom or whatever. Could be time when you guys were just sitting at home watching a movie. I don't know. A lot of different things. And you should really cherish any time you're with your mom because you never know when the last time might be that you might see her. For you. And you're never too old to honor your mother, respect your mother. Yeah, but I'm 75 and my mom's 97. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, and you'll have a good life and a long life. If you dishonor your mother and your father, you will have a short life and a miserable life. It's as simple as that. And so, here we are, my mom's giving you a hard time. Not every mother's the same. And different moms are different. And just remember that. Learn to get along with them. Please. Please. But anyhow, it was good. It was a good day. A Mother's Day. So it was nice. All right. We're starting to see more and more of America opening up. A lot more churches open. I know in Michigan, not only did my church open partially for the first time in almost 2 months, another church that is kind of affiliated with mine down there near St. Louis, Michigan. They opened up their church on Sunday, yesterday, for the first time. In California, you have 3,000 churches were to open their church, would reopen their doors against their governor's orders. But it's good to see the church is starting to open up. America is finally starting to open up because America's been cooperative for a long time. And I think we're going to see it continue, especially as we get into the middle and more so to the latter portion of May. I think you're going to see a lot of things. Virginia. Oh, look at Virginia. They were supposed to stay locked down until June 10th. Now they've announced that certain places there get to open on the 15th at 25%. Ohio, they're continuing to opening up some stuff this week, some more later next week. Indiana today. Tennessee, they've been for a couple weeks. I imagine in another week or so, depending on how things go, they will go to the next phase. And Texas, yeah, you're starting to see a lot more things happen. And even when I've been out and about, it seems to me like traffic is picking up and people are done. But at the same time, you need to pray for some of these governors, including here in my state, Michigan. Because ours governor has just kind of went off the deep end. There are lawsuits. There are, and it's just gotten really crazy. This is why Christians and Americans in general, but especially Christians, need to pay serious attention when you're voting. You have to, because not only are you voting for who you want, you could be voting for whether or not you still want us to have our Constitution intact or not. And I'm serious. So if you got a state this year that is voting for a governor, there are a couple of them, then you may want to think about it. Oh, this person, they blah, 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 blah. Vote them out. Replace them with the one that will do the right choice. Most of your politicians flunked this test. Some passed. To them, I commend. Miracle Man, what about names? Nope, I'm not doing that. But I think God has his hand on this. I think it'll be a good election in November as long as Christians go out and vote. Last election, only 26% of registered conservatives voted. Imagine if it was like 90-some percent. In 2016, the reason our president won was because of the amount of conservative and Christian, what they like to call evangelicals, voted. You say, why do they call them evangelical? I don't know. But I'd say because of the Christian vote. That really helped shape the difference. That's why Christians have to vote. And you can't just vote for the president. You've got to vote up and down ballot. Congressman, senator, sheriff. In the states, they're voting for governor. Mayor, vote for people who are for the Constitution up and down the ballot. Because your local, your county sheriff has a lot of say on what's happening. And Jenny, I know you've seen about the barber shop over there in Owosso. Well, so some of your listeners may know, some of you might not, but there's this barber shop over there in Owosso. The governor basically has had barber shops closed since they've been closed since the 21st of March. Now, there is this guy named Carl over there in Owosso. He has had his store open since May 4th. He opened it because he says, got to pay my bills. And a couple different times, state police went in there to issue cease and desist. Our attorney general has basically sent a cease and desist to, like, force him to close. DHS has been involved in that, but there's been a couple breakthroughs. Number one, their sheriff said, I'm not prosecuting. I'm not sending my officers out there to arrest him. Our executives will not be enforcing these executive orders. And then their county judge over there to the due south of here, Shiawassee County Judge, he said the same thing. I will not prosecute. And And so, and he has said, I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. And at one point he said, I'm going to keep cutting hair until Jesus comes. I like that. I'm so glad that he's not sitting there being a pansy. Because we got way too many pansies, don't we? Are you just saying that or do you mean it? You mean it, right? We got way too many pansies. And I'm so glad that this Carl over there in Owosso is not being a pansy. And so... You say what's going to happen with him? I don't know. I hope they all look at this and have a change of heart. Look at Louisiana today. He just announced. Their governor just announced a couple hours ago a long list of stuff that opens Friday. Did you hear about this? But even Louisiana, they're a little bit behind the rest of the region. You did see that Alabama did, though. They did. They just did. So basically, there's only two holdouts left, basically, KY and North Carolina. Other than that, basically, the whole southern region is. You say Miracle Man? Did you think the South was going to open for? I don't know. I would have said kind of yes. And then maybe Midwest and Northeast. Then, yeah, but part of it has to do with concentration of where there were the most. And I kind of felt like the South, to a degree, had among the least. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then the good thing is this. And I think this could really help. I pray it does. And that is the last couple of days, the weather hasn't been so that warm, kind of rainy. Today was so cloudy. But help's on the way. Help's on the way, baby. Starts with Thursday, really, is going to start being the turning point as we go up to the high 60s. Then the weekend, 70s, a 60-degree day, Saturday or Sunday. After that, 70s for, looks like 70s pretty much all the way to the 25th, I think, pretty much, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying.
70, so, closer to the 25th, that seems like almost some 80s, right?
Yeah.
So that's true. You know what, listeners, and I think that could really help a lot. Because I think that when we start seeing a bit more consistently warmer weather around America, when a lot more of it is 70s plus, it's going to make it a lot harder than if you got all these wide variances. Because today we were like 45, whereas places in like South Georgia were in the 80s. South Georgia, and other similar locations along with Florida. So why'd you leave out a lot of the other southern states? Because some of them don't go quite as far south, you know? But when you're in those locations that are, even if they're not near the water, but they're a little bit more tropical geography, you know, where it can get a bit warmer more easily. And so I think as we start to approach the summer more so, I think we're going to start seeing things really start to change. And I don't believe in God that that's what's going to happen. We have to pray it. And if we believe it, we can all put our faith together. And then I think it can really change things for the better. And even right now, before it warms up, we should still believe God that he's going to do it. Because I'm going to give a lot more credit to God than what I do for warmer weather, even though warmer weather can help. And I know there's different scientists that say different things and la 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 mumbo jumbo. And there's all these different views. But you just got to pray that this stuff lifts. And we have to pray over our leaders who have authority over us. Especially in some of these states like Michigan, New York, California, and some others. And I got a nickname for these ones, the holdouts. Yep, they're the holdouts. And so we're going to pray right now, and then we're going to move on to the rest of the evening. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you for what you're doing regarding all this. Thank you for states opening up. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is here. And I take a moment right now, Lord Jesus. First of all, I curse this virus and every spirit behind it. I curse it by the root in the name of Jesus. That thing falls to the ground and doesn't ever come back. I plead your blood over it, Jesus, and it will not. This virus will not live. It will die. And I rebuke you, Koran, the moron. And also, I rebuke you, spirit. There is one spirit allowed to operate, and it's the spirit of the Most High God. And Lord, I thank you for our leaders. For our leaders who have authority over us, I pray that they would wake up. Some are, thank you, Jesus, but I pray that more of them would wake up, and that those that need to step down would step down, and that you would deal with them, those who should not be in office. I pray that you would just deal with them and give them a new heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for the economy. I pray that the economy comes back. And I pray that the spirit of fear would die in the name of Jesus. Because you, Lord Jesus, have not given us a spirit of fear. You've given us power, love, and a sound mind. And now, Lord Jesus, I take a moment right now and I pray for our health care providers. I thank you that you strengthen them right now as they continue to deal with what all's going on. Thank you that you give peace to them. May you just give them peace, so they can go home and be at peace. They can go to work and be at peace. and they can just live at peace with you, Jesus. And now, Lord God, I pray right now. Thank you for our pastors. I thank you that you're strengthening these pastors, Lord God, and thank you that you're encouraging them. And I thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God, for these churches that are starting to open back up. And I just thank you that. May the church members come out. And may they have a yearning to be in your presence, Jesus. And I thank you for that, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. Amen. Now, listeners, before we sing, a couple quick things here. First of all, I want to let you know that show is brought to you by the icy cold Coca-Cola from McDonald's, which you can go through your local drive-thru and grab an any size Coke for a dollar a piece. And I'm loving it. And while you're there, you can grab yourself one of the great deals they have on the app, including my personal favorite, $1 off large fries. And it can be great for you. Now, also, I want to encourage you to please call in. If you want to talk to me, you can feel free to call in. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1, and you'll be taken through the call screener. And I'll be letting know that we have a call, and then we'll go from there. Praise God. All right. We're going to sing a couple songs, and then pray, and then we'll get into the word of the Lord for this evening. I was breathing, but not. No, I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious name. Out of the darkness, into your glorious name. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you, what a day, what a way, you called my name. And I ran out of that grave, yeah, out of of the darkness to your glorious day. Out of the darkness to your glorious day. I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. My old I'm heavy. Was broke. I was an orphan. But you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave. Yes, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I ran out of that grave. I ran out of that grave. I ran out into your glorious name. Thank you, Jesus. This is how it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, Lord. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I win my battles. Yes, Lord. This is how I win my battles. Hallelujah. This is how I win my battles. This is how I win my battles. Hallelujah. It may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, Lord. It may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That even when it seems like we're surrounded, we're surrounded by you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is through you that we win our battle. Through you, we're winning. We're winning, Jesus, because of you. All things are possible when you are on our side, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are there fighting for us. Pushing back that darkness, lighting up the kingdom that can never be shaken. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us tonight. thank you, Lord God, tonight that as we study your word, may these listeners have eyes to see it, ears to hear it, Lord God. And I just give you all the honor and glory and praise for that in Jesus' name. And now I make my confession over this program tonight. I confess that sponsors and partners would come into the kingdom of God, come into this program as a result of this tonight. And I thank you that finances would come into this program. I thank you, Lord God, that increases in listenership would come to this program. And most importantly of all, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that I thank you for the big increase in souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great program tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen and amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Let's go to Kings chapter 8. Praise God, 1 Kings 8. Hallelujah. And we'll see what all the word of the Lord has tonight. Again, we're talking about Solomon. Then King Solomon summoned by his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Zion, the city of David. All the men of Israel came together to King Solomon at the time of the festival in the month of Ethanim, in the seventh month. When all the elders of Israel had arrived, the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tent of meeting and all the sacred furnishings in it. The priests and Levites carried them up, and King Solomon and the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered him before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and cattle that they could not be recorded or counted. The priests then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it on the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the place of the Ark and overshadowed the Ark and carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from outside the holy place. And on the page, they still there today. There was nothing in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever. While the whole assembly, of Israel was standing there, the king turned around and he blessed them. Then he said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his own hand has fulfilled what he promised with his own mouth to my father David." For he said, "Since the day I brought my people Israel up out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built for my name to be there, but I have chosen David to rule my people Israel. My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'Because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, who is your own flesh and blood. He is the one who will build the temple for my name.' The Lord has kept the promise that he made. I have succeeded David, my father, and now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised you. I have built the temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. I have provided a place there for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord, and he made our fathers when he brought them out of Egypt." Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hand toward heaven, and he said, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or below. And who keep your covenant and love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, 'You shall never fail to have a man to set before me on the throne of Israel.' If only your sons are careful and all they do to walk before me as you have done. And now, O God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth, the heavens, even the highest heaven, because, cannot contain you? How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea and mercy. O Lord my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. hear the supplication of your servants and of your people Israel when you pray toward this place here from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When a man wrongs his neighbor and is required to take an oath, and he comes and he swears the oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty and breaking down on his own head what he has done. Declare the innocent not guilty. And so establish his innocence. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name, praying and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land that you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live, and send rain on the land you gave your people as an inheritance. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts, grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made to any of your people Israel, by any of your people Israel, each one aware of the afflictions of his own heart, and spreading out hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Forgive and act. Deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart. For you alone know the heart of all men, so that they will fear you all the time. They live in the land you gave our fathers. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and he prays towards this temple. Then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and may fear you, as do Israel. You may know that this house I have built bears your name. When your people go to war against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city you have chosen for the temple I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them, and you give them over to the enemy, who takes them captive by his own land, far away or near? And if they have a change of heart in the land of which they are held captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their conquerors, and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and all their heart and soul, and in the land of their enemies who took them captive, and pray to you toward the land you gave their fathers, toward the city you have chosen, and the temple I have built for your name. Then, from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all the offenses. I'm going to cut off right there because this just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. So, what do we have here? Solomon built the temple. The house of the Lord. And at one point, the priests, they could not fulfill the duties because of the cloud. That turned out to be the cloud from the Lord, because it was believed that the Lord would come in a dark cloud. The way I see it, there's two clouds. There's the glory cloud, and then there's the dark cloud. They're both clouds. The glory cloud is the cloud of the glory of the Lord. And that can be where the anointing comes from. And the anointing, see, is the presence of God. The presence of God is the anointing. It really is. And so you understand it, you don't have to be in the church in order to feel the anointing of God. You can feel it wherever you are, if you want to feel. And because God has given all of us an assignment, and He's anointed us to do it. And I always think of this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us because He has anointed us to preach the good news. Not the fake news. Not CNN, Communist News Network. Not ABC. Not ABC is a fake news. Not CBS. Not MSNBC or classic NBC. Nope. The good news. The news of the Lord. And as I said a minute ago, the presence of God is the anointing. And they were, like I said, they built the temple as God has commanded them to. And then, after which, God was dealing with Solomon. He was telling him what all everybody was supposed to do. And then he said something really powerful. He said, all men have sinned. All. All. That doesn't mean, oh, it's something to be proud of. No. You're supposed to stay away from, not feel free to sin. And if you're sinning because you want to, then that's a pretty severe deal. And you'll have to answer to God about that. No, you won't have to answer to me, but you'll have to answer to God. And He will deal with you. But what I wanted to get to is they could not do their deals, their duties, because the train of his robe, it filled the temple. People gathered around and they cried that he was holy, as it was in the most holy place that had been built. And through this time, there's been people saying, well, why should the church even have a building? We're the church, we're not in a building. Well, to that I say, huh. We're the body of Christ, yes. In that case, they're right. We're part of the body of Christ. However, being the big church requires that it not just be live stream all the time. The Bible says, gather yourselves together. I mean, do not forsake the gathering yourselves together. Even more so as the coming of the day of the Son of Man approaches. That means, if anything, we should be having more church, not less. Well, there's a virus. Oh! Well, they were in the temple of the Most High God, and back in the day, a long time ago, in these old Western movies even, the church was in the center of town. So there'd be a church in the center of town, like right in the dead center. Now you see many churches are near the edge of town. Even in my city here, Midland, my church is just outside the city limits. But then again, many of the miracles Jesus did were on the edge of town. But not to say church is important. Nowadays, in the dead center of town is usually either a hospital, courthouse, or a performing arts theater, or retail shops, restaurants, or a big office building. And churches are very much the way I see it, essential. And in those Western movies, like I said, the church was up in the centerpiece. You know, think about where so many weddings are done. So many weddings are done in the church. But yeah, that's one of the most common venues to have a wedding. You know, when kids get baptized, that happens at church. Babies get dedicated to the Lord at church. And the church is very important. And so that's why it's very disturbing when we have leaders who decide that church is not essential. But the reason the church, that temple was built to be the house of the Lord. It was. That's what it was designed for. Not for all kinds of other stuff to be going on. Not to be turned into a market. Yeah, well, what happens if my church is in a market? Well, they were born again, spirit filled, water baptized. And I wouldn't mind if my church was in the biggest indoor mall in America or the world or wherever. Just hope the sanctuary doesn't become the mall. In fact, Jesus, he turned over money exchangers and benches of those who sold doves or animals. Some tells me that if he turned it into a food court, he would have knocked over McDonald's. While I'd be sitting there trying to order some food before the service, with the hope of being able to sit down and eat it just before church starts, and then only to have Jesus go up there and take it down. No, but I'm sure that's what would have happened back then. I'm sure I'd be like, "Can I eat this?" You would have said, "Outside." He would have said, "Because of that, I'm now starting the service." What is it? What about 10 more minutes? I need 10 minutes. Well, but the house of God, it is designed to be the house of God, not designed to be a place of commerce, not meant to be and all this, that, and the other thing. It's meant to be the most holy place. Not the least holy. Yeah, well, my church has an invasion. Can't have this big youth conference during the summer, and they play their loud music out in the parking lot and all that. And they have that. Yeah, that's different. That's to bring the youth from all these different places to minister to them and to get them on fire for God. That's what that is. That's not trying to be commerce or anything like that. Well, they put up this big high stage and they turn up the music so loud. So, what problem you have with that? And I'd tell them, personally, I think we should just leave it this way. Leave the spoon. I'd be like, after all, I'm hungry right now, and I'm going to get myself a corn dog and fries and an icy cold Coke. And then to go sit down in the tent and eat it. Yeah. And pray that DJ B turns cereal on from the invasion mobile. You say you're talking about your church? Maybe. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But it's the most holy place. The most holy place. That's part of why when Dr. Barker has a conference, that's why I didn't run out the Ball Auditorium over in Saginaw or the baseball park here in Midland. He could. But it's not the same place that's been prepared for it and anointed and been assigned by God to be the most holy place. And as we prepare to go back to our churches, when we go back to church, to make sure we still have that respect for it. Don't go in there and play around. Don't go in there and play these crazy games during the service. No, you can't come in there and eat your popcorn during the service. Nope. Nope. The most holy place, sanctified, consecrated. May we have a yearning to be there. A yearning for the anointing of God, for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And just the anointing of God. So powerful. And that's the only reason why I paused there for a second. I didn't pause like to read comments or whatever. There's this one show lately that I'll be watching every night. And he gets all kinds of comments on his YouTube and his couple of Facebooks. And he's pausing. Sometimes they'll pause for like 30 plus seconds. And I'll be like, I wonder what he's doing. Maybe he's reading all these comments, trying to think about what he does. Last night, he just paused under the anointing. So I didn't want you to sit there thinking, oh, he ran out of things to say. No. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight about the house of God. I'm so thankful, Lord, that we're getting ready to go back to the house of God. I thank you that as we start going back to church, may we have not only a level of respect, but also a yearning for your things, a yearning of your ways, a yearning to be under the presence, a yearning to be in the house. May we truly have that desire to be there like we haven't had in a long time and want more of your presence, Jesus. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. So, Lord God, I feel impressed to pray over all those who are sick in their body, in their mind, whatever is going on. I speak healing to every one of these listeners right now that are feeling not at ease, either physically or emotionally or mentally. Thank you that you just heal them right now, right there of whatever it is that's going on. That you would just heal them, give them strength. And I just give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. All right. For a quick sports update, Major League Baseball owners have agreed to a potential deal which could see teams getting starting the opening the regular season on the weekend of July 4th. It would be approximately 82-83 game regular season. Playoffs would be expanded from 12 teams, from 10 to 14 by doubling the amount of wild cards for this year. Also, teams would be at their home stadium so they could start to increase the amount of fans allowed into hopefully full stadiums and hopefully before September. World Series would probably still be in late October. The All-Star game would be called off. That was supposed to be in Dodger Stadium. That would not happen. The Players Association must agree. Players have already agreed to a pay cut based on how many games are played in the regular season. That means if they don't play any games for whatever reason, then it's kind of a weird thing. But I'm hoping that we can get back to regular baseball started in July, and then hopefully fans in the stands later in July and Ultimately, if I had to say, it would start June 15th. No, June 10th. And I would start letting fans in June 24th at 25%. And then 2 weeks later at 50%. 2 weeks later, 75%. And then by late August, early September, at capacity. Ultimately, I'd do 100% right away, but that wouldn't work. All right. Until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.